God. And when I was considering that early this week, I just felt, yeah, mother heart of God, and then I thought, I heard of father heart of God a lot, but mother heart, I even checked with my secretary, I asked Jess, does it sound all right, mother heart of God? And then I realized that there are actually books that are called that. There's a book, and not just one, but a few, Mother Heart of God. And I just Googled it, of course, you know, you ask Almighty Google, and Google said, yeah, it's okay, Mother Heart of God. It's okay, so, yeah, praise God, I'm safe. Yeah, really, so Mother Heart of God, you know. And then, of course, most of you probably know the story how the Mother's Day started in recent years or last century. But I actually started, you know, there are all kinds of celebrations of mothers has been happening from ancient days, even before Christ, you know, in pagan religions. They, of course, they got female figures, mother figures, and all kinds of representations of mothers, goddesses, and all kinds of stuff. So it's been always in somewhere in every religion on earth. You have some female mothers representative. So, but all that was interesting. How the Mother's Day or how the mothers were actually celebrated or acknowledged within the Christian Church in our own history of Christian traditions, and I found I mean, even that's a different parts of the world. And I remember, you know, we have some special things in my country, in Slovakia, and in it's different in different parts of the world. But I particularly like one thing that I found, and in season of Lent, this 40 days of fasting before Easter, in some parts of the world, in the Middle Ages, actually, even initially in the early church, the season of Lent was a preparation when all those who wanted to become Christians, the catechumens or disciples, were being prepared for baptism. So for these 40 days, and a lot of them were actually fasting and being prepared for big festival of being baptized on Easter Sunday, and that Sunday, Easter Sunday, was called Dominica in Albis in Latin. It means Sunday in the white robes. Albis, Alba is robe, and Dominica is Sunday, the day of the Lord. So there was big season of, you know, solemnness fasting and even preparation or expectation, something will happen. But in the middle of this season, there's one Sunday, this Lenten season lasts 6 weeks, you know, and in the middle of the season is one Sunday, which is called the Letare Sunday. And on that Sunday, it was a special Sunday because the priests, were dressed in purple robes, they have purple vestments on the altar. And it was like a little break in between fasting, all the solemnity, sadness, and all of a sudden this Sunday of joy. Because on the Sunday there's a scripture reading that comes from Isaiah 66. And the scripture reading, Isaiah 66:10, says, "Rejoice with Jerusalem." And in Latin, it's called actually "Letare Jerusalem et conventu de cite omnes." So it's called "Letare Sunday," rejoicing Sunday, happy Sunday. And on that Sunday, because it's robes, the purple priests in robes, and also they brought roses to the churches, a lot of roses, rose, purple rose, and people were encouraged to actually visit their mother church. So if you lived somewhere else, if you were from Handov, on this Letare Sunday, you would go to your mother church, because that's where you are. You were born to your place to the church. So people were encouraged to go and visit their places of birth and visit actually their mothers. And yeah, well, they give them roses as well. And so this Sunday was called Letare Sunday, Rejoicing Sunday, or later it was actually called Rose Sunday or Mothering Sunday. It was kind of medieval Mother's Day in a church, in the middle of Lent. So daughters, sons went back to their mother churches, visited their parents, maybe some flowers, some roses, and also they used to make special cakes. They were called simnel. You got the recipe there. If you want, I can give it to you later on. So, you know, special kind of fruit cake, you know. So there were a lot of different things. Cinnamon, cloves, pepper, black pepper in a cake. See, yeah, ginger, honey, salt, water, honey, some nuts, currants, etc., etc. So church had some Mother's Days in different places of the world in different seasons, and it was quite special day. Now, our modern days, Mother's Day, of course, started only about 100 years ago, over 100 years ago in America by one special lady, Ann Jarvis, who was missing her mom, and mom died. And then next year, on the anniversary of her mother's death, she remembered her mother. And then it's just started, and it became a Mother's Day all over the year, the USA first, and then all over the world. So I was telling somebody, yes, in Slovakia, we didn't have Mother's Day, so I never celebrated Mother's Day with my mom, only once in my lifetime, when she visited me in Australia in 1993. So I had one Mother's Day with my mom ever. So, yeah. In communist countries, we had International Women's Day on the 8th of March, the communist thing, you know, that was a big thing. And we didn't like it because it was ordered by communists. Well, so that's Mother's Day in a church, in a history, and wherever. But now, I was considering and thinking about Mother's Day and what to preach. So Mother Heart of God, and I thought of the Mother Heart of God, of course, Mother Heart of God. And we had a scripture reading, Isaiah 66, 13. And interestingly, so Isaiah 66 is that letare, rejoice with Jerusalem, because that's a scripture where even God is saying, like as a mother comforts her child, so will I, God, comfort you. So God is saying, I'm like a mom to you. I will comfort you. If you have children, you know, when kids is crying or something or hurt, well, you take it on your knees and comfort her. Or the second reading that we had from Luke 13, that God is saying again, like a hen, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I am like a hen to you. I would like to cover you under my wings and protect you like a mother hen. I want to be to you. See, so we have, I just mentioned two images, but a number, numerous images in the Bible, in the prophets, in Psalms, and in many places where God is described or speaking himself about himself as in female terms, as with about mother heart of God. Of course, when disciples asked Jesus, teach us how to pray, he said, well, you pray this way, Father, our heavenly Father. So we speak to God as the Father, but, you know, I'm not into this feminism and this and that, or we can't God call God Father. We can, because Jesus said so, okay? So in some churches, even that is completely went crazy way. But when Jesus said so, we can still call God Father, okay? Yeah. But we shouldn't forget that God says himself that he has even mother heart. You know, he will nurture us, look after us as a mother, as a hen, as a mother comforts the children. He will comfort us. He is not male or female. He is God. He is asexual. He has no gender. He does not have part for it says male or female. You know, he is God. He is everything. In the beginning, Genesis 1:27, God created man in his own image. And that image was male and female. That's the image of God. See? That's everything is in God. That's the image of God. Women, you are not created in the image of man. You are created in the image of God, which is female as well. The same way as I'm created in the image of God, as a male. That's complete image of God. And that's why when two, husband and wife, become one, then this complete image of God is fulfilled, and two become one, and together with God, we have this cord, this triangle that is, well, nothing will break, see? Now, so numerous biblical stories in which God is specifically described and shows his, I would say, female character, if you even call it that way. And I went through the list of the Bible stories in my mind, I was thinking, okay, so mothers, females, and God. Let's show me some examples. What is your relationship with, what's so special about mothers and God? And as soon as I started thinking of it, I realized, and actually, really, I have to say, it surprised me in a way, because, and I, as I went through this list in my mind, and then I opened the Bible, and of course, mighty Google, I realized that God had performed the most amazing miracles and divine signs, especially to mothers and widows. Greater miracles he performed for mothers and widows than for men, really. And I'll give you a list of some. Why do I say so? I started even a little jealous, because I said, hang on, that's not fair, really, on us men. It started to look to me like God is showing favors to these, you know, to women. Why? Because I'm saying, well, when we speak of miracles, there are a lot of great miracles, of course, and I've seen a lot of miracles, and I, you know, every healing that I've seen, when I saw the blind person his sight to be restored, blind after 33 years, and started to see, there it was, wow! You see, when I saw all kinds of, you know, lame walk and stuff like that, so it was amazing. But the greatest thing what I've experienced in my life, when the girl was dead and she is alive again. So I find myself, I don't know what about you might find something else, you know, but for me, resurrection is kind of really cool. You know, it's kind of the coolest for me, because healing is kind of, you can kind of explain, oh yeah, he got well. Well, everybody, if you are sick and then you might get well. Somebody has a sniffle and you pray for him, oh, it's gone. Somebody has a headache and it's gone. Well, eventually it will be gone anyway. But if somebody is dead, eventually he'll be still dead. And if eventually he is not dead anymore, or she is not dead anymore, then it's kind of really cool. So I find the resurrections of really, you know, like they are on top of the list for me as miracles on this earth. And of course, when I went to the resurrection miracles in the Bible, God is not fair. Nearly all of them performed for women when they needed somebody to be risen. God did it. Not so many things for men. Why? Females, mothers, women, God loves you. Not, I can't say more than him, you know, but he shows his favor and special love to women for some reason. He has a soft heart for you. I don't know why, but it's not fair, Lord. But see, in 1 Kings 17, there's the first, even that, see, the first resurrection story in the Bible. Because when you find something in the Bible for the first time, it kind of sets the precedent. It kind of means something, you know. It shows you something very important. And this story, if you know it, Elijah, there was a famine in the land, you know, and there was no rain for 2.5 years or something, and he was fed by this special woman, widow. She, and you know, the flour was miraculously happening, and this and that. So he was there in Zarepta, and she had the only son, and the only son died. And see, Elijah didn't have a chance to learn how to raise the dead before, because it never happened before. It never happened before. But why? He just went there and prayed for the boy, and boy was raised from the dead. Because the woman, the widow, was distraught, and she prayed, she cried, she was, you know, my only son, la 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 la. Can you imagine a woman, you know, especially Middle Eastern woman, you know, in Zarepta, it's Asia, you know, Asian woman, you know, Asian, sorry. But so the first resurrection, and the woman got her son back. What about the second story? 2 Kings 4. Another woman, another son, another death, and prophet Elisha, yeah, he prayed for the boy, and because of this woman who was, you know, crying and that, so, yeah, okay, you got the resurrection. Again, Shunammite woman got her son back. Luke chapter 7. Jesus went to the city of Nain, and there was this woman whose son was dead, the only son in Nain. And, of course, now we have to say, of course, yeah, another resurrection because this woman's son died. And I was trying to, hang on, there must be at least one for men. Oh, yeah, there is a Jairus. Yeah, we know the story, Luke chapter 8. Jairus' daughter, he came to Jesus and said, "Oh, Master, my daughter is sick." But, well, yeah, but that's the thing, see? Jairus didn't know that his daughter died. He just thought she is sick. So Jairus came to ask for healing. He didn't know she is dead. He didn't dare to ask for resurrection. Only when actually he got... And I was going through the story and I was trying to imagine. And, okay, this is Miller Willeby's version, okay? So don't quote me, but where was the mother? Where would you be? Holding her hand at the bed of your daughter, wiping her sweat and trying to give her water. And so mother was there, and I can imagine the mother, "Go and get Jesus. Go, I'll stay, you go, you know. Go and get him quickly." All right. You know, and up Jairus went, because mother, I believe so, you know. That's Milo Verbe's version. And in the meantime, Jairus went, and there was another old lady with flow of blood and this and that, so delay, and Jairus was, "Oh, what, my wife will kill me, you know, if I don't get him on time," and this, and in the meantime, he got a story, "Oh, yeah, she really died, your daughter died," and then he was, okay, she will really kill me now. But then Jesus turned to him and said, "Don't worry, you know, just believe." So even in that story, I see Jesus, there was a mother at her bed. And then Jesus came to the house. Their parents, the mother is mentioned there. Mother was there. Mother was waiting at the body of the girl, holding her hand at all times, I believe. See, so even that story, okay, there is man at least mentioned, but... yeah, that's as far as we go for resurrection done for man. John 11. Do you know what it is? Lazarus. Yeah, he was risen because two women, well, Jesus did it for one, he would do it even for two. Two sisters, Mary and Martha, when their brother died. And of course, yeah, in 4 days. Well, okay, 4 days doesn't matter, we'll raise him anyway. Yeah. And, you know, it goes on and on and on. So when I went through the Bible, I said, "Really, God? That's amazing. He loves you, women. He has, and why is it? Because you are so passionate. When you go through troubles, you're like we heard Teresa, you know, or you hear stories like that, and your heart is broken right away. You have this empathy. You just sympathize. You just feel your whole soul and heart and everything. You spill it before God, and He just can't stand it when you do that. He has to listen to your prayers. See, that's what God does. And men, we are more, you know, phlegmatic. You know, oh well, if that happened, you know." But that's what Jesus, even the parable of the woman who was persistently asking the judge, and Jesus said, "You pray like that and you will see the results." Perseverance in prayer, that's what women have. Go to any prayer meeting on this planet and you will find 85% or 90% women and few men praying. Because you women have a heart for prayer, for intercession, for getting, asking, daring to ask from God. But a lot of us men, unfortunately, you know, we are kind of a bit select in that. So I think that's the key. You know, women really go to God with their hearts, and they get. And even, I'm a pastor, you know, yeah. So when I woke up on Sunday morning, what a pastor does in first thing in Sunday morning, you think of your sermon, of course, yeah. I woke up this morning, the first thing that came, of course, I was thinking of my sermon, how well, you know, I go through it again in my mind. And I got another scripture that I even didn't put it on the list, but I remember that in, I think it's Hebrews 11, the chapter that speaks of heroes of faith. And even there it mentions that women got their dead man back to life in the chapter of heroes of faith in Hebrews. It doesn't say men got their dead wives or something back, but it says women got their dead ones back in the chapter of heroes of faith. So we don't even know how many. We have a few mentioned in the Bible, but how many more were there? We don't even know, see? So there's something special about women, mothers, widows, and the relationship, what the relationship they have with the Heavenly Father. So I want to encourage you, all the females. See, you have something, some gift that we men probably don't fully understand. Your softness, your sensitivity, your openness, your spiritual antennas or whatever. You are much more open to, and maybe even the perseverance in your prayers or willingness to stay on your knees in when we men would give up 10 times and you stay there and you cry hard, you cry your eyes out and you stay there. And it's pleasing to God. It's pleasing to God. And He answers prayers. What is John 19? What did I... Jesus on the cross, when he was, his last word, when he was hanging there and John was there and his mother, and he said, "Hey, behold, mother, behold, woman, this is your son now, son, this is your mother." See, even on the cross, last concerns on this earth in his life, Jesus was concerned for the woman, for his mom. And then I was thinking also of the Acts of the Apostles when Peter came to this city of Joppa, and the Tabitha died, and all the other women, all the other widows came to Peter and said, "Oh, look, these are the clothes that Tabitha or Dorcas used to make to us." And even then, even Tabitha, Dorcas was raised, and other, because of the women. See, there was another resurrection. So, you know, I went through this story after story, and I realized, yes, there's something that you have, and God has for you, that we men, well, we are made differently, and that's fine, but we should, even as a pastor, say, I want to say thank you for your prayers, and I know, I mean, I told you, in Melbourne, I had two ladies who have been praying for me at 5 a.m. in a church every day of the year, 365 days a year. They were there on their knees praying for the church, for anything and everything, but I know I was on the prayer list as well every day. And they've been praying like that for 22 years now, those two ladies. You've heard correctly. Okay. And I can't tell you how much I value those ladies. They you know, they are amazing. 5 a.m. every single day of the year. Even on their holidays, when they are not together, they pray wherever they are, you know. So I value prayers of all the intercessors, every woman that prays. And God is showing in the Bible how much He values that too, and how much He wants to answer. So I could continue to read a lot of other stories as women were praying, you know, Samuel's wife and this and that, how people who were barren, you know, a lot of women couldn't have children and God answers their prayers and all kinds of stuff, you see. But when we hear all of these stories, and especially, the resurrections, because I love those powerful things. Now my question is, and to all of us now, so this is what the Bible says. This is the Word of God speaking to us on this Sunday, Mother's Day Sunday. So what are you hearing now through these stories? What is the Bible telling us? What is God telling us through these stories? See, I don't know about you, but I'm hearing something. God is teaching me something. I'm hearing that He's showing us, telling us that we should imitate Him. In Ephesians 5, verse 1, Apostle Paul says, or the Word of God says, therefore be imitators of God, beloved children. We should imitate God. So if we see, I've just mentioned half a dozen stories, and we've seen God doing something, we should be doing what God is doing. You agree? Okay, at least some of you. Now, he's our Father. There were times when, recently even, yes, one of my youngest came to me and said, Dad, can you teach me how to shave? So, okay, Ben, let's go. So we went to the bathroom. I said, well, look, this is what you do. You press this button, you've got this foam, you do the room, and you do this. You never go sideways because you'll cut yourself, and you do da-da-da-dum. And so, like the Father, like the Son, so I taught him how to shave, and they imitate us. But see, I mean, it's not just when they want to learn how to shave, but we have to be careful because our kids, our children, are learning from everything that we do, everything we don't do, the way how we walk, how we speak, what we say, what we don't say, how we treat our women. They learn by observation. Okay? We teach them most by just being who we are. So, just got a few pictures, you know. What they see, they will do. Okay. So. How you drive? Yeah. What you good one, huh? Yeah, so they learn by observation. So now, I don't know whether, okay. So the question is, we see God doing something in all those stories about relationship, God's relationship toward women, widows, and all those troubled women in the stories, Bible stories that we had. So now the question I'm asking myself, how can I imitate God? And you should ask yourself, how can I imitate God in His relationship, in my relationship now, towards the women in my life? And it applies even to your women now, your relationship to other women in your life. How can I copy God's behavior, His attitude towards the women in my life? Women that are maybe lonely or distressed, like some of those in those stories that we had. Women who are maybe troubled, heartbroken, or simply or in any need of whatsoever. Because we all have needs, you know, all kinds of needs. Big ones, small ones. We've heard some big, huge needs. So how we deal with it? How we imitate God's behavior? Reading these stories and hearing, seeing God, what can we do? Of course, we know that In our society, we have Centrelink, we have social services, counseling services available, legal aid, charities, but would it be imitating God if we see some troubled woman and something and we go and put her, well, this is a business card for Centrelink, you call that number, please. You know, in the story of Good Samaritan, you know, three guys pass by and the last one didn't sleep, oh, he's the business card from the nearest inn, you know, hotel or something, go and find accommodation, or he's an emergency department number, call that number. No, he stopped, put him on his donkey and got him to the inn and licked his wounds and even paid for him. So, see, that's what Jesus said, go and do likewise. So, God has treated these women in some special way, and we hear, go and do likewise. So what does it mean for me today? What am I hearing? What is it that God wants me, what us to be to the women in my life? Now, yeah, I often say these words when we finish a service at the end as a blessing, that we are all living presence of Jesus in these suburbs where we are in this city. So how are we living presence of Jesus, especially today now, to the lonely women, troubled women, single women, single mothers, divorced mothers, mentally challenged women, or any woman that you can think of in your neighborhood or in your family, in your relatives or something? What are we hearing? What I am hearing is that God wants me, wants us to be the living presence of Jesus to those around us that are in need. And yeah, okay, I see it even symbolically. So there were, when the son, or the only son of the widow died, that the future died. There was no hope, no future, no security. So there are a lot of women in your life that you might know, or some at least, that lost that hope. When you lose your hope, you are hopeless. They wouldn't say it, but you see, when somebody loses hopes, when somebody loses joy or something, future, it hurts. You might still put big smile on your face, big makeup, and everything looks good on the outside, but you know, on the inside. So they need a resurrection. And we have the resurrection power within us. The risen Lord is within you. So we have, as Peter said to Jesus, where can we go? You have the words of eternal life. So we have something to offer to those ladies in our life. You heard of Dalit people in India. They got caste system. So Dalits are at the bottom of the society. They are the untouchables. They are the scavengers. They live, everybody lives on top of them. And that's the most of the society in India. The majority, biggest part of the population are Dalits. Untouchables. If you are from the upper class, you don't touch them, basically, literally. You have nothing to do with them. They serve you, they take your rubbish, they do something for you. Otherwise, you don't touch them. But in a way, you can go online and read some stories. It's appalling. It's terrible. It's unimaginable. They live, literally, some of them live in the sewage, in the tunnels, with rats, and eat rats, and barbecue rats on the fire, and this and that. They take this. Yeah, terrible story. So, and we are appalled when we hear that, but, you know, we are not appalled when there are untouchables in our society. Nicely dressed, not stinking, smelling or something, not eating rats, but there are some people that we feel, well, we'd rather not to have anything to do with them. And widows were something like that in the old society, because there was no social security, when you lost your husband, you lost your status, you were nobody, they were untouchables. And God showed this special care and love for those untouchables. And I believe that sometimes we need just this opening of our eyes to ask God to, yes, Lord, help me to see who needs to be touched by you? Who needs the resurrection of her dreams, resurrection of her hopes, resurrection of something in the heart that is probably dead? Because there's no love, no care, no friendship, no network of people who would be supporting. So as I read these stories, that's the only thing that I've heard, and I just wanted to share with you and maybe challenge you just to look into your life. And for some of you, it's natural. You are this people who are looking around and see the needs. But some of us, just like those two, the priest and Levite in the parable of Good Samaritan, we just walk by. We see the need and walk by. So today I just want you to stand, to stop and remember all the stories in the Bible and say, oh yeah, God, I have to be imitator of you. So please help me to see who needs a touch of your loving, caring hand. And it doesn't have to be, you know, great thing to do. It could be just knock on the door. Hey, hi, how are you? Go for coffee or whatever it is. You know, small things could be a great miracle for some. So, and whatever we do, you know, it's really for the glory of the Lord. So I wanted to have a Mother's Day, but in such a way that, as I said, the mother heart of God, I say He's got special care for women. And as we meet at God, we should share the mother heart of God in every way possible. So that's my contemplation of my heart. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would touch all of us. And I would like to hear some testimonies next week. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Sunday. And today, especially, Lord, not all women are mothers here, but we all have mothers. So today, Father, we thank you for our mothers. We thank you for those who gave us life. They were not perfect, I believe. But Lord, we are not perfect. It means we are all sinners, but we are all, Lord, coming to you as people who, as we are, and we receive forgiveness and grace and love. And you, Lord Jesus Christ, you died for all of us. You died for our mothers, and we bless you for those mothers who knew you, who brought us in the knowledge of the Lord. We thank you for the mothers who taught us how to pray. We thank you for the mothers who taught us how to walk in the way of the Lord. We thank you for the mothers who brought us to the church, to Sunday school, to confirmation classes, who gave us the Bible, who spent prayer times with us, Lord. We thank you for mothers who taught us how to love your word, how to worship you. And we thank you for mothers, Lord, who have example of being amazing daughters of Almighty God. We thank you, Lord, for our spiritual mothers. We thank you for those who are teaching us at Sunday school, who were giving us, who were like instruments and tools to shaping our lives. We bless them, Lord, and we bless you for them. Thank you, Lord, for our godmothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers and any female figures of any importance in our lives. Let your name be glorified for all those amazing women in our lives. And Father, I pray again for all the women, all the mothers in this church, Lord, that you would build them up in faith so that they would be like matriarchs in your body, in a church that you build, Lord. Without females, without women, Lord, the church would be really dead and boring and empty. So we thank you, Lord, for all the beautiful ladies, sisters you have given us, even in this family of God. Yeah, let your special blessings be upon them, Lord. Let their hearts be filled with your grace, with your goodness, and the gifts of God be upon them, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.